Okay, today's class is dedicated by Amir Fishbein and family in memory of his father Shleishim, Ephraim Fishel Reb Yaakov, the Neshama should have an Aliyah. Okay, on page 1052, we're in middle of the page, Pasuk Chav Beis, Pasuk 22. Okay, last time we were learning that a guy marries a woman and then he accuses her of committing adultery between the Kedushin and the marriage when she was technically a married woman, but they didn't get married yet. And if they're guilty, then she gets killed. If she's innocent, he has to pay X amount of money for a fine, and he has to stay married to her for the rest of his life. Okay, next is like this. What happens if a man is found living with a woman who's actually married? In other words, like we learned last week, in the olden times, today it's done simultaneously under the chuppah, not simultaneously, but it's done both under the chuppah. Years ago, there was the kedushin, or the edusin. That means the guy gave the girl a ring. Areat mukadeshesli, he said, you're consecrated to me with this ring according to the laws of Moshe. In Israel, they're in front of two witnesses, she became bound to him. Okay, but they weren't married yet. A year later, they got married. That's what, for a virgin girl, they gave her 12 months to get married, the Gemara says. So, years ago, there was the Kedushin, and then there was the Nisuin. Nisuin is the marriage, and Kedushin is the, not engagement, engaged doesn't mean anything. But, betrothal. But then, the din was, if they broke up, they needed a get. If she lived with somebody, it was considered adultery. The difference was, she got stoned. Okay? Or the guy would also get stoned. Now we're going to learn what happens if somebody lived with a woman who was married already. So stage two, they already got married completely, the husband and wife are living together, and the woman committed adultery with the man. So the Mishnah says like this, Ki yimatza ish, if it be found out that a man, sheichev im isha b'ul esbal, is living with a woman who is married to a husband, umeisu gam shneihem, both of them die. You kill both of them. Now this is again, if they were warned by two witnesses immediately prior to the act, and they did it anyway, and I'll explain in a second. Who dies? Ha'isha, sheichev im ha'isha, the man that lived with the woman. For ha'isha and the woman, ubiyat ha'aramisa. So this is a simple, normal case of what's called adultery. Adultery, they both get killed. The man that committed the adultery and the woman that committed adultery. Because they were not allowed to live it, but because they were both married already. So then, the capital punishment is not stoning. For a married woman, the capital punishment is chenek, which means choking. Now, the Gemara says over here like this. If you notice, the pasuk says the expression, umesu gam shnehem. Also both. So the question is, it should say, umesu shnehem. Both die. What is it, gam shnehem? So the Gemara learns out a few things. One opinion says that because they die, all the future generations are going to be dead because they're getting killed by the court. A second concept is, what happens if this couple that committed adultery, she committed adultery with somebody else? So that other guy is also going to get killed. Even though you could say, listen, she committed adultery, she's supposed to get killed, so she's dead already.
From Shulayim, right?
No. Besdin, the court's killing. Yeah, choking. The Besdin kills him. But the question is, I would think that if, let's say, a married woman commits adultery, right? And Besdin didn't kill her yet, for whatever reason. And then she commits adultery with another man, so I might think that the other guy, the second guy, shouldn't get killed. Because she deserves to die, so she's considered a dead woman already. So the din is no, gam shneim, anybody that commits adultery with her is still gonna get.
What is it?
And 1 second, one more thing. Another interesting thing the Gemara learns out from here, that if the woman that committed adultery was pregnant, so I would think, okay, the fetus didn't sin, let the woman give birth, and then kill her. Why should he kill? So the Torah says, gam shneim means you don't, this is what the halacha says, you don't wait for the woman to give birth and then kill the woman and let the baby stay, you kill her as she is pregnant. In other words, both are getting killed by the court. But
so what does the man get in this case?
Also the same punishment, choking.
In the previous case when she wasn't married but betrothed, what would they get?
Skila. Skila. It's called stoning. And for a married woman, which is interesting, by the way, because skila is a stricter punishment than choking. Because skila is today for heading and chenek. Nevertheless, the Torah, this is what the Torah says.
So why did Yehuda tell them to burn Tamar?
Huh?
If Skila is the high.
First of all, it was before Matan Torah.
Ah.
And then there's another thing. She was, Rashi says, because she was a Bas Koyin. She was the daughter of Shem.
Okay.
Shem Benoich, who was Malki Tzedek, who Koyin Lekel Elyon. So because she was a Bas Koyin, there's a unique din of Bas Koyin that commits adultery is a different din. Right. But this is a different din. But this is the general rule that they would get actually, you know, chenek. There's no need for Yibum. Who? Where? By Yud and Tamar?
Yeah.
You talking about Tamar in this case?
Tamar.
Yeah, that's why Yehuda did it. That's why she did it, because it was a din of Yibum. Okay, but let's not get off on Yud and Tamar.
Bye-bye.
What?
Does it matter if the man here is married or not? Or
doesn't matter.
Why is there a difference?
I know women don't like to hear this. I mean, nothing.
It's all women.
It's all women. The whole world.
It's nothing personal.
No. Okay, just listen. A married woman who commits adultery with a single guy, they both get killed. Right? It's adultery. I'm talking about Torah law, I'm not talking about secular law. If a married woman commits adultery with a single girl, but he's married, that's what I'm saying.
You said a married woman commits adultery with a single girl.
No. A married man, I said woman, sorry. A married man commits adultery with a single girl. They both don't get killed. Okay? Even though he's married, but technically, according to Jewish law, biblical law at least, and rabbinic law for that matter until 1,000 years ago, a man can have a number of wives. A woman cannot have more than one husband, but a man could have many wives.
So nothing would happen.
So nothing. I mean, not that it's allowed, but it's still.
What about the girl?
Huh?
What about the girl?
With what?
She doesn't get killed, and she doesn't get lashes or nothing.
If a married man has relations with a single girl,
uh-huh.
Nothing.
I mean,
because in a kadesha could be a din of nida. I mean, there's a lot of side things, but in the actual din itself, adultery, basically. Now, we discussed this din briefly last week, but the same. Guys, come on. Now, we discussed last week what happens if the married woman. Now, sometimes you can have a case that the man gets killed, not the woman. Or the woman gets killed and not the man. Okay? Now, if a married woman, who's 10 years old, so she's not bas mitzvah yet, but she's married, and she's over 3, commits adultery with a 15-year-old, 20-year-old, 30-year-old, doesn't matter. Okay? So even though they both committed adultery, but she's underage, she's not bas mitzvah yet, so she doesn't get killed, but the guy that did it gets killed. Now, or...
What would the punishment
be? Or, 1 second, same thing. Or, what happens if a 10-year-old boy, who's over 9, but he's not bar mitzvah yet, commits adultery with a married woman over bas mitzvah?
She gets killed.
So she gets killed, and not him, because he's not bar mitzvah yet. Under bar mitzvah, he can't get killed.
If the married man, Jewish, go with married ladies, non-Jewish, what's happened?
We didn't speak about non-Jewish.
Yeah, that's this case. What's this case?
That's the Pinchas story. Kanoim pagan bay. The zealous people can kill him during the act.
We're not talking about Hamar.
No, okay.
Yeah, but the court can't kill him, right?
Court can't kill him. No. In fact, if you ask the question, can I kill him, the court says no.
Married guys with prostitution.
I said, you didn't hear what I said. I said there's Kadesha, there's a problem of Nida, there's a lot of other issues. But as far as the court cannot kill a boy or girl under Bar Mitzvah. even though a boy over 9 halachically is able to commit adultery, and a girl over 3 is able to commit adultery, but nevertheless, under Bar Bas Mitzvah, you don't get punished. But that doesn't mean they both don't get punished. If the man was over Bar Mitzvah, and he committed adultery with a girl, married girl, under Bas Mitzvah, he would get killed and not her. You can't say because she doesn't get killed, he shouldn't get killed. It's two different stories. Okay, that's this pasuk. Okay.
Why is there a difference
between Arusa and Asua? There's a kosov. Huh?
1054.
No, the Torah doesn't say what. Okay, Pasuk Chav Gimel. All these dinim apply of seduction, of rape, all these things are what's the psukim coming up now. Ki yeh nara besula me'eras alish. What happens if there was a virgin girl who was engaged, again, engaged here means kedushin, not what we call engagement. Umetzoi ish ba'ir, and a man found her in the city, the shachav ima, and he lived with her. You know, he had intimacy with her. So now, she was a virgin, because she wasn't married yet. She just had the kedushin, but she didn't live with her husband yet. So she's still a virgin. And a man found her in the city. We're going to understand why the Torah is saying the city in a second. And he lived with her. And you take them both out at the gate of the city. You stoned them with stones. They died. As a naira, the girl, why does she get killed? Because she didn't cry, scream for help. I'll explain in a second. And the man gets killed because he tortured this girl. And you have to destroy the evil from your midst. Okay, what the Torah is saying is like this. What does it mean he found her in the city? If he did it in their house, it would be different. Mm-hmm. We're going to soon see that that's a city in a field is different. Why is the Torah emphasizing Umetzoi ish ba'ir? No. The Torah could have said a man lived with her. Why does it emphasize he found her in the city? So Rashi says the famous expression from the Gemara, Pirtza kara laganef. An open door beckons the thief to come in.
She was asking for it.
She was asking for it. Meaning, like Rashi says, Rashi says, Pirtza kara laganef. Ilu yashva bebesa. If she would have been home where she belongs, it wouldn't have happened. Now let me explain this. Hello?
Question.
1 second. Let's first explain this. The Pasuk says like this. In fact, you have the same Pasuk earlier in Chumash. When Dina was raped by Shechem.
I just going to say that.
Great minds think alike. What can I do?
All three.
You guys must read the same book.
Yeah. Oh, you also?
I was also
going to
say.
Yeah. Greatest minds think alike. Mm. Keep going, we'll have more. Anyway, it says in Chumash, in Parshas Vayishlach, Vateitze Dina, Bas Leah, right? Dina went out, the daughter of Leah, to go check out the girls, and because she went out, she ended up getting raped by Shechem. So it says, Vateitze Dina, she went out. Where did she get that trait from? In fact, Rashi says over there, a lot of famous expressions come from Gemara Rashi. Ki'ima, like mother, like daughter. It's especially like mother, like daughter. It's a Rashi and Chumash. It's really a Gemara and a Medrash, which is much, much earlier than that. Leah went out. Vateitze Leah to meet Yaakov. Leah went out. So the daughter went out. The daughter follows the traditions of the mother. Because she went out, okay, therefore she had ended up that the Shechem did to her what he did. The same thing. The Gemara, the Medrash says over here, when the Pasuk says he found her in the city, what's she doing roaming around the city?
Outside.
What's she doing roaming around the city? She shouldn't be roaming around the city. Shlomo HaMelech says, okay, and today, obviously, we live in a different world than in the olden times. Shlomo HaMelech says, the famous pasuk called Kvod Bas Melech Pnima, the glory, what? Right, David HaMelech, and Tillim. Called Kvod Bas Melech Pnima, the glory of a Jewish girl is internal. In other words, when she doesn't go out to the world. And so today, that, well, but like the Rebbe explained many, many times, the fact that the girls today do go out, if they're going out, let them do something constructive at least. Yiddishkeit, teaching, doing, mitzvahim, things like that. If they're going out anyway already, let them do something good. So, it says, that's why the Torah is emphasizing over here the concept that it was be'ir, because, and there's another thing. If you notice over here, the word na'ira normally has a hey at the end. Mm-hmm. Right? If you look in this pasuk, kiya na'ira without a hey. Es a na'ira without a hey. Okay? Without a hey. All of them without a hey. Why? Because without the hey, you read it nar, a lad, versus na'ira, which is a woman. In other words, what the Torah is emphasizing over here, even though you read it na'ira, and it refers to a girl, but the Torah is saying she's acting like a man that goes out. That's why it says na'ira without the hey, because then you read it nar, what?
What if it, because it says betula, she's a virgin. What if she wasn't?
Then that's the previous pasuk that they get killed with chenek. The purpose of this pasuk is for the next pasuk coming up. To don't differentiate, we'll see in a minute.
Huh? Don't let the
now, by the way, this gila, the Mefarshim explained, is only when she's a naira. And this is also the difference in the previous pasuk. In pasuk Chabez that we learned, it says if a man is living with a woman who's married, not naira. Over there it refers, remember we learned there's three stages. By a man there's two. Pre-bar mitzvah, post-bar mitzvah. Yeah. By a woman, there's three stages. Ktana, under 12. Between 12 and 12 and a half, she's called Naira. And 12 and a half, over, and older, she's called Bergeris. Or Bergeris. Depends if you're Yeshiva Bacher, you speak correct Hebrew. Bergeris. Now, Bas Mitzvah, she is at 12. So Naira and Bergeris are basically, obligations and mitzvahs are exactly the same. But there are differences between Naira and Bergeris. Number one, who has jurisdiction over her? Over 12 and a half, a girl halachically has her own jurisdiction. From 12 to 12 and a half, it's the father and the husband and a little bit her, different things. But the Gemara says, and that's why, here it says Naira Besula, that she gets Skila. It's speaking only a Naira. And in fact, in the earlier Psukim also, not what we learned last week, it always speaks about a Naira. Naira gets Skila. And therefore the Pasuk over here says, you take out this, both of them, the Naira and the man, because it's speaking between 12 and 12, then she gets stoned. Once she's over 12 and a half, then she gets choking. Chenek. So it's a unique din of a girl between 12 and 12 and a half.
Married.
Married, yeah. Mm-hmm. Or in this case, not even if she wasn't married, but she would still get the chenek. Now, I want to say the next few psukim before we can discuss the contrast between these two things. V'im basa de yimtso isha sanayra marasa. What happens if he found her in the field? V'hechzik ba ish. And the man grabbed her. With strength, chazak, right? With strength. The shachav ima, and he lived with her. Umei so isha she shachav ima levad. Then only the man that gets killed.
Of course.
Well, I went to ulanayda leisayas adavar. You don't do anything to the girl. Ein lanayda chet mavetz. This girl doesn't, should not get capital punishment. Why? Ki kasha yokum isha reo tzorchi nefesh. Just like a man gets up to kill somebody else, just like a man murders somebody else, kein adavar hazeh, so is this thing. That means the Torah is likening rape to murder. And once he, let's see one more pasuk. Ki basada mitzah, he found her in the field. Okay? Tzaka anayra merasa, we assume that the girl screamed. Ve'eim eshila, nobody was there to save her. So the Torah is saying like this. Obviously, if we prove differently with witnesses, the din changes. But the Torah says there's an assumption that if it happened in the city, then the girl was okay with it. The girl was okay with it, because if she didn't, she would have screamed and people would have heard it. The fact that she didn't scream means she was okay with it, so she committed adultery willingly. In the second part, in the field, the assumption, the Torah says, is that she did scream. And therefore, nothing happened because nobody heard her. But what happens if you can prove that she willingly did it? Then the same thing is the field and the city. The Torah is only differentiating between the field and the city to differentiate between the assumption is in the city she did it willingly, therefore the man and the woman both get killed. In the field, we assume that she was raped, God forbid, and she screamed and nobody heard her, and therefore she doesn't get killed. Now, but if you notice a very interesting thing over here, the Torah is likening adultery to murder, or rape to murder. Right? From this pasuk, you know, there's a very interesting Gemara in Psachim. We know there's three sins that you have to give up your life and not transgress. Right? And now that somebody says to you, bow down to an idol or else I'll kill you, you have to say, kill me. If somebody commits adultery willingly, No. Rabim is any type of Aveda. Aveda Zor Gila and that's adultery and murder. Okay? If somebody says to you, when it comes to your gun, with a gun to your head and says, kill him or else I'll kill you, you have to say, kill me. You know, if they ask you for your money or your life, then you think about it. If you're Jack Benny or not, then you think about it. If what's more important, your money or your life. But according to Allah, these are the three things that the Torah says, Yari, Val Yavi, you have to give up your life, and you're not allowed to transgress the sin. And the Gemara says, where do we learn this out from?
Your life is more important than
money.
I'm going to explain this. Okay. Are you a doctor?
No.
You need patience. There's three sins you have to give up your life. Idolatry, adultery, and murder. And the Gemara says in Pesachim, where do we learn it out from? Where do we learn it out from? So Aveda Zara, idolatry, the Gemara brings on a Pasuk that shows that committing an idols is worse than, so they learn it out from a Pasuk. The Gemara says, how do we learn out murder? That if somebody says, comes to you and says, kill them or else I'll kill you. Mm-hmm. So the Gemara says, it's a logic. Mechazes the damach sumak tfei. Who says your blood is redder than the other person's? Meaning, I'm going to explain this. It's a very important concept in Yiddishkeit. Who says my blood is better than your blood? So who says your life is less important than mine or my life is more important than yours? Okay? Which means like this. If somebody has to get killed, they're equal. Every person's life is equal. Correct? Now, rather than me doing an act of murder, I should be passive. In other words, somebody has to die, God forbid, because the guy says, shoot, kill him or I'll kill you. So then, the din is like this. Somebody's going to die. Either A or B, I don't want to see you or me. Either A or B, right? The guy says to A, shoot B or else I'll kill you. So either A or B is going to die. Now, which life is more important? Equal. Who says your blood is redder? So rather than you doing an active act of murder, it's better to get killed because at least you're not doing an act of murder and B's life and A's life are both the same. That's what the Gemara says. It's a logic, by the way. The Gemara uses that as a logic because who says your blood is redder than somebody else's? One second. Let me just finish the point. Too many questions. Now, how do I know the Gemara says that by adultery you also have to give up your life? So Gemara Pesachim says in this pasuk we just said, the Torah likens rape of adultery to murder. The same pasuk says, "Kasher yakum ish al reo tochei nefesh kein adavar hazeh." Just like a guy is committing murder, same thing as rape. The Torah likens rape and murder. So the Gemara says, if by murder the logic says you have to give up your life rather than commit the crime, so the same thing applies to adultery. Now, this the din of adultery that you get killed, just to give an entire picture over here, is, so the question is like this. If a woman, God forbid, is a married woman, is being raped, which is adultery, why doesn't she have to give up her life? And just fight the guy until he kills her. Because like this, she's transgressing the sin. So the Gemara asks the question, Sanhedrin. The Gemara asks even about Esther and Achashverosh. But the Gemara answers that, the Gemara says, Esther karka ilam hava. The Gemara says the woman is not taking an active role in adultery if she's being raped, not willingly going. But if because she's passive, she doesn't do anything, therefore it's, you can't kill her because she's not actively committing the sin. It's, the man is actively committing the sin. The woman is only passively committing the sin. You can't get killed for passively not doing anything. So that's what the Gemara says, why the woman doesn't have to give up her life if somebody, God forbid, is raping her, or married woman talking about, to be able to give up her life, because the Gemara says that the woman is passive. Now, why, and the Gemara learns out, by the way, from here, another fundamental din in the entire Torah. The Torah says, you don't do anything to the woman. Why? So the Torah says, she cried, and nobody helped her. Nobody was there to help her. From here the Gemara learns out, and there's one more passage the Gemara learns out, that Eines Rachamana Patre. If somebody is forced to commit a sin, you do not punish him. You don't punish it. Where do we learn this out from? From this pasuk, this main rule in Torah, that if somebody committed a sin against their will, but forcibly by somebody else, forced them to commit a sin, they don't get punished, is because of this pasuk over here. The Torah says you don't do anything to the girl because she was raped, she was forced, and she didn't do it willingly. If the girl did it willingly, then she would get killed. Now, one second. So the Gemara learns out from here, the din, that Eines Rachmana Patre, that any time a person, for instance, by the way, the Rambam says even more, and everybody agrees with this, by the way, in this respect. What happens if somebody comes to you with a gun to your head and says, bow down to the idol or else I'll kill you? Kill me. So what does Halacha say you're supposed to do? Say, kill me. Yeah. What happens if the guy didn't? And he bowed down to the idol because of it.
Yeah. Forced him to do
it. Even though he didn't do what's right, but he will not be punished for worshipping idols because he was forced.
Forced, yeah, that's it.
If somebody holds the gun to your head, even though halachically he's supposed to say, kill me. Not Larry, but kill me. Don't get killing, you're killing me, Larry? Oh, God. Fitness sleep, oh, God. Forget it. So if your guy says, kill him, else I'll kill you, even though halachically you're supposed to say, kill me, if you didn't, Eines Rachmana Patre, and the Gemara learns again from this pasuk, that once a person is forced to do a sin, or was complete accident, then you're not obligated in punishment. Now, this does not refer to monetary punishment. In other words, if by accident I broke your window, I still have to pay for it.
It's big, their pain and suffering.
Yeah, but I'm saying, when the Torah punishes you, whether it's lashes or death or something like that, the spiritual punishments, if you were forced, anus, then you don't have to do it. You don't get punished. Same thing. If somebody forced you to kill somebody and you killed them, even though you weren't supposed to do it, but the Beis Din cannot punish you for doing it not because you were forced to do it. Now, any accident, the same thing. Right? But when it comes to monetary laws, this doesn't apply. Or what happens, this is also an argument in the Gemara, but what happens if somebody, the case, the classic case the Gemara gives is, the Gemara in Gittin, in fact, says, a guy gives a get to his wife, divorced his wife, and the condition, I don't come back by this and this date. It means if I'm not back by this and this date, the get is a valid get. If he comes back earlier, no, what you call the party?
I mean,
which party are you talking about? The divorce party? So if the guy comes back, so then it's not a get, because there's a condition, there's a get and the condition, you don't come back. The Gemara says, what happened? The guy is running, he's coming. I'm here, but he's on the other side of the river. And there's no bridge. But he said, no, I'm here. So Gemara says, Bicycle, you still didn't come, the get to get. What? Somebody kidnapped me, I was, I couldn't make it. Bottom line is, you didn't show up.
Why do you,
Anus, command the Ovid, loy amrinan. It's an argument to the Gemara, but the Halach is, honest command of it to say that if an accident happened, it's considered as if I came, that we don't say. By the way, you're right. Let him remarry the girl. But if he's a Kayan, then he can't. Oh, it's a problem. Then he can't.
So, Rabbi, what punishment does he get in this case of rape in the forest, let's say? Or in the field?
He gets killed.
What punishment?
Probably chenek.
Okay, and is she supposed to be a virgin in this case? Because it doesn't mention it.
No, the same. No, Marnayda Murasa, virgin that, but had kedushin.
A virgin that was
betrothed, but not living with her husband yet.
So this is three case that they should murder is cancer because they force them.
Yeah. But this is the source that Enes Rachmana Patre that. An accident that happens is, you can't do it. I mean, you're not punishable by death. Or any punishment whatsoever.
It's not a monetary. If somebody tells you, break the other guy's window, I'll break your window, and you still have to pay. That's true.
Not only that. Not only that. If I tell you, break my window. The Gemara in Shechon Aruch. I tell you, break my window. I give you permission to break my window. And you break it, you still have to pay for it.
Really?
Yeah. I said, break my window, but you still have to pay. If I said, break my window on the condition that you don't have to pay, then you don't have to. But if I say, break my window, and you break it, you have to pay for it. That's the halacha. What then shlichas come over here? I'm making you a shliach. I said, give you permission to break my window. You break it, the guy still has to pay for it.
Unless he puts a caveat.
What?
Unless he puts a, like you said, unless he says, listen, you're
wrong. Unless if I say clearly, under condition, you don't have to pay for it. Not only that, we learned this then, that even if you damage in your sleep, you have to pay. The Gemara has an expression, Adam Mord La'ilam, the person's always liable, Ben Or, Ben Yosh, whether he's sleeping, whether he's up. But it also depends. If I sleep on a bed, and when I go to sleep, there's dishes next to the bed. In the middle of my sleep, I roll over and break the dishes, I have to pay for it. But, no, it's a very important din, by the way, it's a very important lesson in Yiddishkeit. What happens if I fell asleep, and after I fell asleep, somebody put the dishes there? And then I broke them, I don't have to pay for them.
Who sleeps next to dishes?
In the olden times, they did a lot worse things.
Yeah.
It's a small little apartment.
They had 20 people came to the guest room.
No, it's a very interesting concept. Because a person has, even though initial, sometimes I wonder if people have self-control, but a person has self-control even when they're sleeping. In other words, we all know if you lay on a bed, let's say you're a guy that, or a woman that turns and twists all over the bed, yeah? And you lay down in a narrow bed, you're not going to fall off it. Why? Because when you went to sleep, you know that there's a narrow bed. If you turn, you're going to fall off. But if you already were sleeping and then somebody put the dishes there, how am I supposed to know the dishes there? So then I won't have to pay for the dishes. But anyway, this whole concept, but this is, by the way, this is some fundamental concepts of Torah. This teaches us the law, the three averes you have to give up your life for. Two of them are derived from this inyan over here. Also, we hear, derive from here the unique din that somebody who is forced to commit a sin is not liable for punishment. But if it's damages, then you do have to pay for it. You have to pay damages. Okay. Pasuk Chof Ches. Ki yimtza ish. Now we're going to talk about a guy. Okay, now he speaks about Naira Psula. Pasuk Chof Ches, 28. Ki yimtza ish Naira Psula. If a man will find a virgin maiden that was not betrothed, she's still a Psula and didn't have Kedusha, a single girl. And he grabbed her and has intimacy with her. They were found that this is what happened. So what's the din? Now, nobody committed a sin because she's single. She's not a married girl. But the guy that did it has to pay a fine of 50 shekels to the father. V'lei sihi yaliisha, and this girl becomes his wife. Tachas sherina, because he seduced her, not seduced her, tortured her. Layocha l'shalcha kol yomav, you cannot send her away for the entire life. Meaning that if he violated a single girl, okay, he has to pay 50 shekel, and he has to stay married to the girl for the rest of his life, unless the girl doesn't want, but he cannot divorce her.
That means support.
No. He means stay married to her.
Yeah, but he doesn't have to be intimate with her, though.
No, that's... He has the obligations of a husband to a wife.
That's right.
Yeah, but part of him is marital relations.
Part of the marital
obligations is marital relations. But this is, he has to give 50 shekel. And, by the way, this doesn't matter if she's a young girl, an old girl, Now, there's a number of differences. A mafata, if he seduces the girl, he doesn't pay the fine, only if he doesn't marry her, like it says. In other words, this pasuk is speaking, God forbid, when a guy rapes a single girl. In Parshas Mishpatim, before, all the way back, over there is a different in here. If a man seduces a girl, single girl, then he has to marry her, and if he doesn't marry her, then he has to give money to the father. Here the pasuk is speaking, this is the difference between Mishpatim and over here. Mishpatim is speaking seduction. He seduces the girl, but he doesn't rape her. This is speaking, the guy rapes the girl. Because he raped her, he has to pay a fine to the father, 50 shekel, whatever that is, and then he has to stay married. Why? So like we learned in the Gemara not long ago, especially in the olden times, this girl that was raped, God forbid, is called damaged goods. Would be damaged goods. Nobody would want to marry her. Who'd want to marry a girl like that? So the din is, so the Torah has pity on the girl, because this is what you did to her, and therefore you have to stay, you have to marry her and stay married to her. Now obviously if the girl said, I hate your guts, you know, she can ask for a divorce. But as the Gemara explains, usually they didn't because she wouldn't be able to marry anybody else. Like this, she had a husband.
Naira is
12 to 12 and a half.
So all these cases are 12 to 12 and a half or 12 and up?
12 and a half hours.
Depends.
12 and a half hours.
12 and 12 and up. 12 and up.
12 and up for all of them.
Yeah. Right.
Excuse me, how often does the husband need to be intimate?
Okay, we're not learning that now.
Depends on his profession.
Okay, do me a favor. Okay. Okay. Perek Chof Gimel. What?
Just like it is by murder, can I divide it?
You can come in.
Huh?
What?
In Pasuk Kavod, it says just like if the lady was taken by force.
Right.
Can I divide it? It's just like by murder.
Right. Torah is likening these things to murder.
If guy A is about to kill B, so you can kill A. Same thing by here, right?
No. No, not in all dinim does the Gemara say we liken them. Now I hear your point, but it's not true.
If a guy's about to commit adultery,
I don't think so. No. No, you can't. It's likening as far as the din of, you know, Yari Val Yaver and the those things, but it doesn't actually do that. So anyway, these cases in the time of the Gemara happened, didn't happen, whatever, but this is still,
halacha.
Still halacha.
You see somebody chasing after somebody for rape.
To kill him?
No, not to kill him.
No.
To shoot him in the leg.
I think that then you're not allowed to kill him. It's only by murder you can kill him. I believe so. But it's interesting that Torah likens these two, murder and rape together, as far as the punishment and as far as that you have to give up your life and not transgress it. By the way, just to explain, you asked a question before, why isn't your life more important than somebody else's life?
Yes.
Halachically, a person's life is more important than anybody else's life. Mm-hmm. For instance, the Gemara says, the Ruach Hayach HaKayimim, your life comes first. But it speaks about, and the Alter Rebbe even explains this in Tanya, even though it's a Gemara and Shulchan Aruch, but if I'm going with you in the desert, and there's only food for one of us, and I have the food, halachically, I'm not speaking about extra food. But there's only enough for one, my life comes first. If I can only save my life for your life, halachically, my life comes first.
Yes.
That's not the case, though, of killing somebody else. We're talking about saving your life. Mm-hmm. My life comes before your life, not as far as to kill somebody, why is your blood redder, you know, than theirs? That's talking about an act of killing. An active act of killing. Here we're talking about saving a life. Halachically, your life comes first.
Well, what's the difference? You put the gun and say, if you don't kill, I kill. What's the same?
No, because then you're doing an act of killing. Here I'm not killing the other person. I'm saving my life.
So, both the same. You save your life.
But here I'm killing somebody by doing it.
Yeah, so
that's an act of evil.
I keep the water for myself.
That's not an act of a sin. I have the water; it's my water. I'm keeping it.
Going on IQ, but there's a
point. What?
That they say that you should share the water, so maybe something can happen.
No.
Heaven.
That din, what you're talking about, is a different din. The whole Masada story. Was Masada allowed to be done according to Torah or not? In the beginning of Chumash, when it says, Shefer Dama Odom, that you're not allowed to kill yourself, okay, you're not allowed to kill yourself. So there's a whole question in Halacha. The Torah Shlema brings it down at great length. The beginning of Chumash, when it speaks about the Pasuk, Shefer Dama Odom Bodom, Dama Yishafech, there's a question like, you know the Masada story? They knew they were going to get killed. So they ended up killing themselves. Okay? There's a story in Tanakh. Shaul HaMelech was getting killed by the Plishtim at the end of his life. Okay? He was in a battle and the Plishtim were winning. The Philistines were won, and they were going to kill him. So the Pasuk says that Shaul HaMelech turned to one of his servants and said, kill me. I don't want to die by the hand of the Goyim. I want you to kill me. And the guy didn't do it. The guy didn't do it. So the Pasuk says, Shaul took his sword, laid it on the ground with the sharp part up, and he fell on it, and he killed himself. Okay, so there's a whole discussion in halacha, if that is allowed to be done or not, because you're going to get killed anyway, so is that considered suicide, killing myself, and are you allowed to do it? Most authorities in halacha, by the way, say that you're not allowed to do it, and they quote even stories. There's one time a city and the guy were going to come and kill them all out, and some people said, let's kill ourselves, and the prayer, what happened? The end result is, they never ended up coming. So they were all saved, and if they killed themselves, they would all have been dead. Right? So therefore, most of the, and they're right, Shaul HaMelech Takeh wasn't supposed to, they justify what he did because, whatever, but he wasn't supposed to kill himself, even though he'd rather die at the hand of a Jew than the hand of a guy. Halacha is that you're not, like the Masada story, they weren't, halachically they weren't allowed to do.
If his servant did that and killed him, what would have happened to him? Would he, because he's listening.
Ask Kevorkian. I'm not joking. That's the.
Kill a Jewish king, even if it's a.
The new law that, we're going way off topic, but we did learn about murder. this assisted dying. Euthanasia assistant to dying.
But you're saving the king's honor.
Against Torah. Still against Torah.
So these things that people are...
It's all against Torah.
The Recha Kamecha is not a prayer?
What? After Recha Kamecha?
You have to do your follow like it more than yourself?
It doesn't say like a person more than yourself.
If you give water to them?
They should, trust me, they should love you, you should love everybody at least as much as we love everybody as ourselves. In Midas Chassidus, so the question is, even though halachically it says that my thing comes first, my life comes first, what happens if I give you my water and I die? What happens if I give you my water and I die because of that? Is that called a sin? And
heaven.
The halacha is it's not a sin. It's Midas Chassidus. It's above and beyond the law. In other words, according to halacha, your life comes first. You have to first take care of yourself. But if you didn't, then you save somebody else's life, that they're a holy person.
It's really hypothetical, though.
Why?
How are you going to know whether you're going to die for sure or not if you split the water?
The case is you know that you're going to die. I mean, okay, next. But okay, all the way to the bottom of the page. Perch of Gimel Pasuk Aleph. The Yikach Ish as Eishes Aviv, a man shall not take or marry the wife of his father. The Yigala Knaf Aviv, and literally means he should not reveal the robe of his father. Meaning like this. It says, L'yikach, even though halachically, you can't marry your father's wife. By the way, the father's wife, even though that's not what the pasuk is referring to here, but your father's wife could be your father's wife, even if it's not your mother.
Yeah.
Could be a stepmother.
Yeah, that's right?
Because it's not even talking about that. L'yigala k'naf aviv, the Gemara says, is speaking by Shemeres Yavin Shalaviv. Meaning, this pasuk, because already it says a million times in Torah, you can't live with your father's wife, even if it's not your mother. It's a stepmother. It's still married to your father. So it's one of the adulterous relations. And not only that, if you do it, the kid's a mamzer. If they have a kid, the kid's a mamzer. Like we're soon going to learn about a mamzer. The kid would be a mamzer. It's not even, Rashi says, it's not even the concept of lo yikach. Rashi says, lo yikach means, not don't take. Kicha means kedushin. Lo yika, there is not even a kedushin. There's not even a kedushin, but the Gemara says that's not what it's referring. The Gemara kedushin says this refers to shemeres yavim shalav. Meaning like this: the father's brother died without kids. Okay, so now the uncle's, the father's brother died without kids, so the father has to do yibum. Mm. With his sister-in-law, because there are no children. She's waiting for the father to do Yibum. So then is, if this guy, God does it, the son cannot marry her. That's it. There's not even Kedushin. Okay? And from here, by the way, we're going to learn now.
Is it a penalty of death?
It's death, because anyway, Bechlal, your auntie can't marry either. But the din is, there's not even a Kedusha, there's not even a marriage. Now, we learned this din in a number of cases. What happens, and the Gemara is going to learn out, not like Rabbi Akiva's opinion, we get to Mamzer, probably be next week. The din of what's called a Mamzer, bastard, but not when you say you're a Mamzer. I mean, halachic Mamzer, is only from a relationship that there would be capital punishment if it was done. Okay? Now, the Pasuk saying over here that any time you want to do a Areat Mekudesh Asli, okay, with somebody that would be forbidden to marry, biblically, with the punishment of death, either court or Karis or God killing you, the Kedushin is completely invalid. If it's only a negative commandment, without capital punishment, the Kedushin does become effective. Meaning like this. If a boy goes over to his sister, who's not married, single sister, obviously a brother cannot marry his sister, right? It's capital punishment. A boy goes over to his sister, in front of two witnesses, single sister, and says, Harei at mekudeshesli b'tabazu g'dasmei shev Yisrael. He gives her a ring. From the two witnesses. Okay? Does she need a get?
No.
It's worthless Kedushin. Why? Because this relationship between brother and sister is biblically forbidden with the punishment of death, so the Kedushin is not valid. I'll give another example, though. What happens? A Kohen cannot marry a divorcee. He's not allowed to marry a divorcee. A Kohen cannot marry a divorcee. What happens if a Kohen goes over to a divorcee, who's not allowed to marry? But a Kohen goes over to this divorced woman, in front of two witnesses, gives her a ring, and says, "Hey, I'm a kodesh yasli b'tabazuk, that's my shev Yisrael." That woman needs a get. She cannot stay married to him. He has to divorce her. Right? But for this woman to marry anybody else, she needs a get. Why? Because the sin of a Kohen marrying a divorcee is not punishable by death. Not by God and not by court. It's get lashes. Okay? Another thing, Mamzer. A Mamzer, whatever the definition of a Mamzer is, but you cannot marry a Jewish man or woman. But if a Mamzer is also Jewish. If a man goes over to a Mamzeres, a female mamzer, and gives her a ring in front of two witnesses and say, because it's only biblically forbidden without capital punishment, that mamzeres needs a get. They cannot stay married because it's forbidden for a Jew to marry a mamzeres, or for a mamzer to marry a Jewish girl, whatever it is, right? They still would need a get. Because it's not capital. Now, Rabbi Kiva holds, by the way, a mamzer is any even a negative commandment, accepted. But that law is not like Rabbi Kiva. So, that's the bottom line of this.
Rabbi, on this passage that we're learning now, though you have
Cohen,
moment sec. Yeah?
Does that have to do also with, let's say, a polygamous concubine? Her father?
Of what?
That it says, would that also apply all the laws of an ancient other?
A pelagish? No.
Would not?
It depends how you define a pelagish. Some machlekes in the Gemara, if it's a pelagish with kedush, without kedush, with a ksuv, without a ksuv. Some poskim hold, a pelagish means you had kedushim but no ksuba. If that's the case, she's a full-fledged married woman. But if you hold it's without kedushin, then it might not be.
And then would a son be allowed to live with her?
No.
Would that be also punishment?
No, you can't either.
But would that be punishable by death?
It depends how the pelagish is. If it's, but the But therefore, the Rashi says, Layika, Rashi says, Ein lo bala kuchen. Rashi is saying, it doesn't only mean that you shouldn't do it, it means you can't actually have the concept of Kedushin here. Okay? What?
The case that the Kohen married with divorced lady.
Right.
The kids is mom?
No. He's a cholol. It's a cholol.
He's not Kohen, huh?
No. Okay, so this is what, like you said, euphorism refers to the father's Yavama, the widow of his father's brother, and he is supposed to marry, and he didn't marry yet, whatever, so it's still forbidden to do that. What? Yeah, that's what Rashi's saying over here. Okay. L'yave, okay, just start this part. L'yavu p'su adakuch chru shavu b'kal Hashem. Okay, this is Allah, a man with crushed testicles, a severed organ, should not enter the congregation of Hashem, because he can't reproduce. It's a whole story without elaborating on this whole thing over here. But you can't do things basically to sterilize yourself. He's not allowed to marry a Jewish girl. The same thing, when it says in the past, same thing with Liyavim Mamzer B'Kal Hashem.
But he can't marry a Jewish girl.
He cannot marry a Jewish girl. Mamzer, I mean, is a full-fledged Jew. In fact, the Mishnah says, a mamzer, who's a Talmud scholar, has preference and precedence over a high priest who's an illiterate.
How could a high priest be an illiterate?
How could rabbis be illiterate? Trust me, plenty. No, the Mishnah said, "Mamzer Talmud Chacham Kainu Kainu Gai Almar," and but learns it out from a pasuk.
So poor man.
Yukarihim Ipnimin. Yukarihim Ipninim. It says simply. It says, "Torah is more precious than pearls." The Gemara says, "Yukarih Torah is more precious than a Kain Gadol who goes into Lefnai VeLefnim into the Kodesh Hakodashim Yom Kippur, into the Holy of Holies." So technically, if there's, it's not done today because today you go Kain Levi Yisroel. But the Mishnah says a Yisroel who's a scholar has precedence for an aliyah over a Kohen who's an illiterate. But today it's not done. But the Mishnah says a Mamzer even who's a Talmud Chacham. So a Mamzer is a full-fledged 100% Jew. He's obligated in every mitzvah.
But he cannot get married?
He cannot marry a Jewish girl. Now, technically...
Can he get married with a Goy?
Mamzer.
No.
Mamzer.
So he can marry... let me explain. We didn't even learn this pasuk yet. A mamzer technically can marry another mamzeres. He technically can marry a convert, but you don't do it. Why? Because the children will be mamzerim.
Forever?
Yeah.
All the products.
So, by the way, I mean, a technical thing I'm not saying is practiced today or not. What happens if there's a mamzer that wants to marry a girl who converted, and she cannot have children. She cannot have children. So technically, I'm not saying if it's done today or not, but technically, in halacha law, he would be allowed to marry her, because a mamzer could marry a geyeres, a convert. Technically, he can marry another mamzeres, and we don't even know what a mamzer is. Mm-hmm. Come next Monday night, we'll discuss all about mamzers.
No, but when will the children be? Kosher,
never.
A trick question.
There's no other way to do
what?
It.
Can you count the mamzer as a minion?
I said full fledged Jew.
Yes,
sure.
But there's no way to go back. I think there's a way.
Did this
third generation?
There is a. Well, next week I'll tell you.
I remember.